All right, welcome to Coffee with Marcus and Mark, the number one stock market show on Spotify and one of the most popular market updates on YouTube. In this show, we're going to talk to you about what's happening in the markets and how we are trading it in today's Thursday, June 1st. And last night, the debt ceiling bill passed the House and goes to the Senate today. There was a bunch of earnings. We have earnings from Macy's, Nordstrom, Chewy, and then also we had some jobs data this morning, some jobless claims. So we got to see. How did the markets react to this? And also, how are we trading these markets? Plus, we'll show you one of the trades that we entered yesterday and check it out of how this is doing. By the way, if this is your first time here, I'm Marcus Heidkotter. This super smart guy over there is my head coach, Mark Hodge. And we're real traders who trade live accounts. So therefore, we got a lot of trading experience. And we're showing you how we trade these crazy markets. So trust me, we know our stuff and we're not afraid to tell you like it is. So if you're here looking for some honest insights into the fascinating world of trading, you are in the right place. And I mean, Mark, these markets, I mean, what the heck? What a short trading week.
I mean, gosh, a holiday week, just 4 days, but still some action. I mean, we kicked off the week with a bang and that quickly fizzled. Yesterday, it looked like things were going to get nasty. We did end the day lower, the S&P finishing down 0.6%, but coming well off of the session lows. And today, we're drifting right back up to where things were in Tuesday's close.
Yeah, so pretty much if you look at a weekly chart, not much movement right now. I mean, on a weekly chart, we are down 0.2% for the week. And it's all about the debt ceiling. Seems that over the weekend, a compromise was found and negotiations were successful. And now this bill needs to go first to the House, which passed yesterday. So that's good. Today to the Senate and then hopefully on the desk of the president tomorrow, because everybody says Monday is the big day. If by Monday this bill hasn't passed, the U.S. will not be able to pay their bills.
Yeah, 5 days to doomsday. And although it seems like things should be a done deal, it is possible that in the Senate, they propose amendments. And if those amendments are passed, then it goes back to the House and the House needs to approve it again. And so there is the potential for some uncertainty and back and forth. And I think that at this point, traders are believing that we're good and that it will pass. But because there is still some uncertainty, markets are a little bit back and forth.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at the overnight trading on the E-mini S&P and the 5-minute chart, we see that really there wasn't too much excitement yesterday after the news broke that the House passed the bill. I mean, initially there was this up move, but then also down because, yeah, this was just one of the first hurdles. But what I found interesting is to see what the VIX is doing. The VIX, the fear factor, just last week above 20, now below 16, at lows that, definitely the lower end of the range. So it seems that traders do believe that this debt ceiling crisis will be resolved because the VIX is definitely moving lower.
Yeah, fear has left the building. And this is where, typically speaking, if the markets are up, the VIX is down. If the markets are down, the VIX is up. It doesn't always have to be that way. And sometimes even if the markets are higher, the VIX is creeping higher because the VIX is tracking premium and volatility in S&P 500, in the S&P 500 options. So if traders are expecting more price fluctuation in the market, those options are getting more expensive and the VIX is rising. Just not the case right now. Another thing to point out, Mark, is interesting overnight. Like you said, there wasn't a huge, huge reaction to the House news. But then this morning, we had a pretty significant report that traders just kind of shook off. So it does seem like they're paying attention more to the debt ceiling.
Yeah, exactly. Because, I mean, we know that traders over the past few months were always concerned about inflation and what will the Fed do. And one of the important reports that traders are keeping an eye out, in addition to the inflation reports, are the jobs report. And this week, a huge week for jobs. I mean, starting yesterday with the JOLTS jobs opening, coming in much better than expected, and the markets did not react to this. This morning, ADP non-farm employment change and unemployment claims coming out, and still no reaction really in the markets.
Yeah, private payrolls coming in with numbers that were much higher than expected. Now, the real biggie is going to be Friday morning, but still, I mean, this is a major report. And the theme right now is that the jobs market is resilient to, you know, any potential concerns in the economy. And this is where the jobs market being strong is a good thing in most scenarios. But when it comes to the Fed and their inflation fight, not necessarily what they want to see.
No, exactly. And Fed funds traders are paying much closer attention to this. So if you look at bond traders, for example, because we talked about it yesterday, the CME Fed Watch tool yesterday, a 60-40 chance that the Fed might raise interest rates. But then you blink and it's flip-flopped again. This morning, 74% probability that the Fed will keep rates the same in their meeting that happens in 13 days, 2 hours, 53 minutes, and 41 seconds. I had to do it because you did so perfectly yesterday. I'll let you do it again tomorrow. Anyhow, so, I mean, this is where you blink and the probabilities are shifting. And this means that in the stock market, traders are more focused on the debt ceiling. It seems that in the bond market, traders are paying attention to what these reports are saying and what the Fed might do.
Absolutely agree there. And if you go to the probabilities, interesting. So now the probabilities show a pause, right? And then a hike at the next meeting in July, and then a drop in September with, I mean, this is just getting silly, but you know, the overall theme here is that the Fed is still in the long-term focus for traders. Short-term traders are like squirrels, you know, just chasing the closest nut, which is the debt ceiling. The Fed and what they do is still going to be important to these markets.
Yeah. So we'll see. Also, we have another Fed member speaking today. So at 12 p.m. Central Time for me, 1 p.m. Eastern Time, Fed member Harker is speaking. And that's pretty much it, because next week there's this kind of quiet period. So Fed members are not allowed to comment anymore ahead of the meeting. So this will be kind of the last comment that we hear before the Fed heads into the meeting. And I mean, I just brought it up, looking at the economic calendar, super, super, super light next week. I mean, no jobs data, no inflation data, no Fed members speaking. So that shall be an interesting week.
It could be. It could be. And we'll be doing a nice live event in Las Vegas for our mastermind group. So it'll be fun doing these Coffee with Marcus and Mark videos live, which is always fun sitting right by you.
Well, we're always doing it live, but then it will be live from Las Vegas and we're sitting next to each other. Exactly.
It's live, live.
And yeah, live, live. And the reason why I say it will be an interesting week next week is because traders don't have anything obvious to focus on. But yeah, we know that traders and investors always find something to focus on. So they might turn their attention to China. They might turn their attention to the jobs market. They might turn their attention to, well, who knows, right? And this is where, especially with nothing in on the economic calendar, it will be interesting to see what traders are pulling out the rabbit out of the hat and say, oh, look at this. We haven't talked about this in quite a while.
It'll be interesting.
Anyhow, okay.
Will money come out of tech and go elsewhere? Will there be some profit taking? We'll have to see.
Right. So, I mean, in a moment, we'll talk about our existing positions here. But, I mean, we had a lot of move in individual stocks today. I mean, first of all, I think it's C3AI. There it is.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, C3AI, they reported earnings and shared their guidance. I mean, the earnings were pretty good, but the guidance was kind of weak. And this is where they were down much, much more earlier today. I think they were down 21%, now still down 13%. So not every company that has AI in their name is up and away right now.
Yeah, I mean, this one definitely having a huge month of in May. I think it was down almost 25% at one point today. So clawing back some of those losses down 13%, but some big volatility there.
Yeah, then we also have retailers. I mean, retailers always are reporting very last year, and we had Macy's reporting earnings. Now looking much better. Earlier today, they were down 7%, paring the loss right now, down 1.7%. But yeah, they missed actually revenue estimates.
Yeah, they also cut their full year guidance, which was a concern for investors, saying that demand trends have weakened for discretionary items.
Yeah. On the other hand, Chewy, 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 they are up right now 22%.
Look at that. Look at that. I see that they beat earnings expectations. The estimate was to have a loss, but they came out with an unexpected gain per share. Also beating on revenue, and investors seem to like where Chewy's headed, up 22.5%.
Well, one of the things that they mentioned is that they will expand into Canada in the third quarter. And this is, I think, huge because obviously that's a big market for them and the expansion. They've always talked about it, but now it seems to be very concrete that they say, okay, next quarter, it's going to happen. And this attributes to the jump here. All right, more retailers, DG, Dollar General, right now down 20%.
Yeah, a nasty, nasty move lower. They had an earnings miss, slightly lower on earnings and revenue. I believe I thought I had a note here, but I don't. But I believe that similar to Macy's, their guidance had some concerns.
Yeah, they said that the macroeconomic environment is more challenging and they opened less stores than expected. So they're still on expansion while other retailers are shutting down stores. Dollar General announced quite a while ago that they're still opening stores, but that has slowed down significantly. So overall down.
Hey,
But
Marcus, I
hey.
know sometimes we like to do these earnings plays where we put on a trade when there is an overreaction. Do you like Dollar General for an overreaction?
Well, let's take a look at this because one of the things that we are looking for is do we have solid support levels? And look at Dollar General. I mean, it has sliced through all of possible support levels. There was support at 200, there was support at 190, there's support at 180, but it is trading at 160 right now. So if you were to sell puts, it would be at 150. And do I want to own Dollar General at 150 after this massive move? No thanks.
Yeah. And you know what? I think last time I looked at this, it was at 167, so it slid another 6, 7 bucks. So this is the perfect example of trying to catch a falling knife. It's
Yes.
falling, let it be, don't get cut.
Very similar to Macy's, right? I mean, Macy's also has been already in a downtrend, and right now this is not an earnings play. And I know that we talk about these earnings plays and we like them, but we like them on companies where we know that they're solid and we know it is an overreaction and we do see actually some support. In fact,
Yep.
we'll talk about a nice trade that we found yesterday in just a moment. But shall we run through our positions? Let's run through our positions. All right, CTRA. CTRA, I mean, just has been sliding over the last few days together with crude oil and natural gas. If we quickly look at a daily chart here of crude oil, we see that crude oil just got hammered over the past few days. Also, natural gas, I mean, today down another 5%. And CTRA, Coterra Energy, with exposure to both oil and gas, down today, down half a percentage point, so not too bad. But I have position at 26, so it'll take a little bit until I can sell calls again. But we have seen it. I mean, here, look at this move just a few days ago in the beginning of May. I mean, we moved within what, 2 days? 10%.
Yeah.
10%. So I'm not concerned. It is a volatile stock. This is why it is fun to trade options on it, especially to sell premium, because it does have this volatility.
Yeah, and you've collected some dividends on this, sold calls on this. Right now, 2250 would be available. Are you looking to add to it?
No, not at this point. Not at this point. So, well, we'll see. All right, General Motors. That is a trade that I took. You decided not to take it. I sold the 31 strike, and I mean, it seems that I could possibly close it today. So there is an ex dividend, but I don't own the shares. I just sold a put, and selling a put with the obligation to buy shares is not enough to catch the dividend. But it's kind of good to see that even though the dividend is 9 cents, that we are up here. Usually we see a drop by the dividend on ex dividend date, but it's just a super small one. I mean, the dividend yield on General Motors is just a little bit more than 1%, and I'm not trading it for the dividend. That's where I do other stocks and ETFs. But this is just, for me, a nice wheel trade.
Looks good.
Looks good. All right. PNC Financial. I mean, come on. Go back up to the upper range here. We see that it dropped out of this range again, and now it's pushing back into the range today, up 1.75%. Nothing to do there just yet. We just want to see that it stays in this range between 18 and 130, and then hopefully breaks out this range and moves back up towards our cost basis, which for me is 141.50, and for you it's 136, right?
Yep.
Good. That's what we have there. All right. I'll let you run through Suncor.
Suncor. So we both sold puts on Suncor, but we decided to have a slightly different opinion on the best strike to sell. You sold the 28 put, collected more premium. I went a little more conservative with the 27.50 put. Right now, it looks like if the trend continues higher, that those puts will just expire worthless. But you're comfortable owning shares at 28. I'm comfortable owning at 27.50. We were flirting with 28 yesterday, even early this morning. But right now, up 1.4%. And we'll just wait and see if where the dust settles and if we're below 28 or 27.50 tomorrow.
Yeah, I was kind of looking forward yesterday of getting possibly assigned because I don't mind, as I said, I don't mind owning Suncor. But right now, pushing higher. So I'll try to close it at 90% of max profits. If this doesn't happen today, tomorrow, I'll just let it expire worthless. So we'll see what happens there. But let's talk about the trade that we did yesterday. UPS.
Yeah, this was a nice one. So UPS, solid fundamentals, a stock that both of us would be comfortable owning. And we see this kind of support zone between 160 and maybe 167.50. Just in general, it's traded really nice for the type of chart that we look for wheel trades. And so we both decided to sell the 165 strike expiring tomorrow.
Exactly. So that's what we did. I actually got 70 cents for it. You got 68 cents for it. So based on my account size, that's $700 for a couple of days. So $350 per day in premium collected. Can't complain about this one.
It all adds up in 165. I like 160, 165 as a price to potentially own shares here, at least based on what we see at this point.
Right. Hey, are you interested that we are showing you a couple of trades that you could consider for today? If you are, do us a favor, click on like really quick, and then we will show you a few things that you could consider today if you're looking for some opportunities. Again, all we're asking for is a like, because then we know that this is interesting to you. Otherwise, we'll just go back and look at what the markets are doing right now. Okay, cool. So a few things that popped up on the scanner today that I thought were quite interesting. A little bit earlier, Oxy popped up again, another energy play. At 57, a Warren Buffett stock, he increased its stake at to 25% right now, trading solidly in a range here between 57 and I want to say 76. So this pops up here with right now a strike price of 57. What do you think about this one?
You know, I think that 57 is okay. This morning in the mastermind call, we were even discussing the 56. So yeah. I think that Oxy is a nice play. 55, 56 is kind of my preference, just a little bit below in case there's a dip. But I think it's a decent opportunity. For me, though, right now, very correlated to Suncor. So I would personally choose one or the other.
Right. Now, talking about Suncor, there's another possibility. I mean, I sold the 28, you sold the 27.50. This morning, the 27 is available. So if you like this trade, you could sell the 27 put expiring next week for probably 22 cents. Let's take a look at it, what the bid ask is here right now. We can bring it up and look at the live data, see what you would get for this. It's 21 by 23. Yeah, so I think 22 cents would be reasonable for 33% annualized. So that's another possibility, another energy play popping up here.
Yeah, not too bad.
Yeah. I mean, just looking at the heat map, it seems that, yeah, pretty much everything is up today. Everything is a little bit green. We have utilities a little bit down, but overall, it looks like a positive day. Not like a rally by all means, because if we go back, we see that right now the S&P is up 0.5%, the Dow is up 0.2%, and the Nasdaq is up 0.6%. And this morning in our mastermind call, we had a really great question where somebody asked, okay, what do you consider an up day or a down day?
Yeah, and you know, for me, I think a half of a percent is when things start to get interesting in one direction or another. 1% plus is definitely where things get fun, right? On the put side, looking for new opportunities, that's when we're running the wheel scanner and seeing a lot of opportunity there to sell puts, because the general rule of thumb, sell puts on down days, sell calls on up days, and take advantage of that extra premium depending on the direction.
So we have been talking about the markets diddling around, and now we have a definition. So markets are diddling around when they're less, when they're up or down less than 0.5%. That's the definition for now. We should submit this into Wikipedia, I believe.
Let's do it. Or
all right. So looking at the S&P 500, final look right now, we broke above 4,200. And we know that this is a level that the S&P 500 has been struggling with, has been breaking through 4,200 a few times, but then also pulling back. Will today be the day, or this week be the week, where the S&P can close above 4,200 and stay there?
It's going to be close.
Well, there's only one way to find out, and this is tune in again tomorrow when we'll be back here and show you more of what's happening in the markets, how we are trading, and we also have a few videos for you right here. Take a look at these. This way you get a better idea why we are trading or why we are doing what we are doing here, and then we'll see you again tomorrow.
Happy trading, everybody.